Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I'd like to welcome you to the Labrish. Today is January 12th, our second week of the year. For those who I have not seen or heard from, I'd like to say another Happy New Year to you, and thank you for your support as always. Tonight, we have a special topic, which is, did you know? And I know for those of you who are on the internet, there is always something circulating about, did you know, when it pertains to Jamaica. And you might be familiar with some of what we're going to discuss tonight, and some you might not be very familiar with. What I'm going to be using, or the materials I'm going to be using tonight, is mostly from our historians, and these are documented online. You can find them online, and I know that a lot of people, a lot of my listeners, might not have the time or are not necessarily that comfortable with just going online to research something. So I just thought it would be fun to share it in the backyard as one of our Labrish. And at the same time, I want to invite the callers in tonight and those listening online to call in. If you're listening online, the call-in number is right on the page of Blog Talk Radio, so that you can share something special that the world might not know about you, where you grew up, or what happened in Jamaica that you thought was important or interesting to share with us that we might not know. Because I don't know for the rest of the Jamaicans, but I know that sometimes foreigners just take it for granted that because I am from Jamaica, number one, I know every other Jamaican. Number two, I know everything that ever happened there. And I know a lot more now that I am almost two and a half years into the show, into doing Backyard Labrish. I've been so enlightened, mostly through the research of these historians that I get the information from. So there's a lot of information that you can get just regularly. If you just Google, did you know Jamaica, there are several websites listing various facts. But I like to use the ones that I know they're authentic and they can be verified. So I'm going to start first with Wikipedia, which is really put together by just people, but most times I think they verify the facts before they publish them. I don't know that for sure, but I'm assuming. So feel free, if you're on the board, to hit one on your keypad or your telephone, and that would indicate to me that you want to join the Labrish. And for the foreigners who might not know what a Labrish is, it's a casual conversation. It's not a debate. It's just talk between friends or a group of people. And I would like to think that most of my listeners that come by are just curious about Jamaica or their friends. So I'm going to think of everyone as friends and expect you to put up your hand and share something with us if you feel like doing that. So I'm going to start with some information I gathered from Wikipedia. And it says here that the Windrush, and a lot of my listeners may not be old enough to remember the Windrush, but I do so very much because my father happened to have left on the Windrush in 1948. The Windrush was the first ship that really transported a group of 492 immigrants from Jamaica to a city near London. And that was the first really mass migration of Jamaicans all together at the same time to England. And I know there are a lot of what I call Jabrits who are children of Jamaican parents, or a parent from Jamaica who were born in England. So there are a lot of people from Jamaican heritage really residing all over the world, perhaps because of that group of immigrants, the first group of real what would be called immigrants. Prior to that, a lot of people went away, quite a few, to go to college, or during the war when they joined the Air Force, or different reasons. But I suppose they never considered them really immigrants in any large groups. So that's the first piece of tidbit from Wikipedia. Here it says that the economy of Jamaica was given a boost after the discovery in 1940 of bauxite, or aluminum ore, as we Jamaicans know it as the bauxite companies. And I remember well when that was publicized, you know, when I lived there at the time. I left Jamaica in 1959, so I was paying attention, I suppose, on some things that were available about during that period. So there's another tidbit for you if you were not born there or if you're just curious about what's happening. And if you're an old-timer like me, I'm sure you remember those very well. And again, I want to remind the listeners online that this is a Labrish, so you can hit your one on your telephone at any time that you want to add something or make a comment or just join the conversation or the Labrish. So, the second thing they had here is that the Jamaican artist Carl Abrahams serves in the Royal Air Force in England before becoming a painter of religious subjects. I must confess, I'm not familiar with the artist Carl Abrahams. I'll have to do some research on him. But he served in the Royal Air Force in England prior to becoming an artist. Now, it also says that Bunny Wailer, an original member of the Jamaica reggae group, the Wailers, was born Neville O'Reilly, O apostrophe R-I-L-E-Y, Livingston. That was his real name, I suppose, and he changed it to Bernie Wailer when he was part of that famous group. Now, the song Israelites was written by Jamaican musician Desmond Dekker after he heard a couple arguing about money. And if you know the lyrics of that song, I suppose you would know what it refers to. Unfortunately, I don't. But I hope that that is something that somebody can connect with. I have to do a little research here and get up to speed. But I must remind our listeners that I call myself a senior senior because I am a senior senior. We'll just leave it at that. And perhaps on my birthday, which is coming up soon, I will remind the listeners who might not know how old I am. But I'm just having so much fun discovering things about the wonderful island that I was fortunate enough to be born and raised on, but left so long ago, but still love my island. And I'm just so excited about doing all this research and finding out so many neat things about what happened during my time and way before my time, which we'll go over some of them today with this Did You Know? But I'm doing the Wikipedia thing first. Now, it also said that Calico Jack, an English pirate captain during the early 18th century, was executed with most of his crew in Jamaica on the 17th of November in 1720. Now, it says here that the flag of Jamaica, the black symbols the strength, the current flag, and creativity of the Jamaican people. Gold represents sunlight, and the country's natural wealth and green represents hope for the future and agricultural richness. It says that did you know that Alexander Bustamante, the prominent Jamaican politician, was born William Alexander Clark, but took the name Bustamante to honor an Iberian sea captain who befriended him in his youth? That was quite news to me. I thought that was his, I did not know that that is a name he took on, but that was not his real name. And if anybody on the board knew that before, just let me know, because that was news to me when I read that. So I am now going to share some did you knows that really tickled me, because I'll tell you why I even selected these that I'm going to share with you now. I think it was last week or not so long ago, I was listening to another Blog Talk radio show that is hosted by a Jamaican young lady. I forgot the name of it now. However, a caller called in and said how surprised they were when they visited some city in Jamaica. I think this was a Jamaican someone who was born of Jamaican parents and didn't really grow up there, but perhaps visited quite a bit. And the young man stated that he was a little, how interesting it was when he visited some cities and he would see a Chinese person, and when they started speaking, they were speaking in the Jamaican patois. And he went on to say that there were white people who looked like Germans or from some other country, and when they started speaking, they were speaking patois. So he was a little surprised about that. Now, Jamaicans who grew up in my time, that was not surprising. But I suppose it is surprising to people who might visit the island now and encounter that, or some Jamaicans who are living or visiting other parts of the world and would meet another Jamaican and then perhaps start speaking in their native language, or what we call the patois. Foreigners would be surprised because they don't look like the quote-unquote Jamaicans, or those that they perhaps see more often. But we're not. So then another caller called in to inform this young man that the Chinese came to Jamaica about 1940. And I said, oh my goodness, I'm sure that's not right, because on Blog Talk Radio last year, I think, I did a whole segment which I got from Pieces of the Past by Dr. Rebecca Tortello. She has done all of the articles for that segment which is posted online. Any of my listeners can Google Pieces of the Past, Jamaica, Pieces of the Past, and you'll find wonderful articles. And I did a whole segment, I think it was 4 or 5 weeks, of the people who came. So I went back to that information today and thought that it would be interesting to just go back, and this is all verified information. And a lot of us, including myself, I didn't know all of this when that I'm going to share with you before I went to that article last year. And I'm going to start off with what I think the first set of people, as she listed on our page, that came there, of course, besides the English and the Spanish. We're talking about, you know, the motto of Jamaica is out of many, one people. And that really sums it up, because everybody's so mixed up, there was so much intermarriage and all sorts of things going on, that it's difficult for some people to really identify really exactly how many different ethnic backgrounds they're from. So I'm going to start off taking from the articles when they came, or those who came, I think, is the caption of it. And it's posted online under Jamaica Pieces of the Past. And this research was done by Dr. Rebecca Tortello. And the Jews came to Jamaica in 1530. Can you imagine that? That was 40 years after Columbus discovered the island. Now, and they mostly lived in Spanish town, and there's a whole article on why they came, when they came, and lots of information about them. So I would suggest to the people who really love history or are just curious about knowing to really go to that article and read the details, or you can find that particular segment that I did in the Labrish on Blog Talk Radio if you just search the archives for the Backyard Labrish show. Everything is archived. That was done from the first show up to last week. So you'll find all the shows we've done. So I'm just giving you a caption of what year, according to these documents, the different ethnic backgrounds arrived on the island. Now, the Chinese, who mostly came from Hong Kong at the time, came in 1854, not the 40s or the 30s. Okay, and it tells you, you know, some of them came as indentured servants, it will tell, and they mostly settled in Kingston. The Lebanese came in 1860. And the Indians, who were mostly Hindus, came in 1845. Now, the Irish, of which Mr. Bustamante is a descendant, came in 1655. And, of course, the Africans came in 1530. Same year, it seems like the Jews. Now, the Germans, and when I remember, we have a place called Germantown, and I remember when I came to the United States first and I told them that we had Germans in Jamaica, people really looked at me strange. I mean, that for a long time. That I knew because St. Elizabeth was one of the parishes that I visited as a child. But back, so the Germans came in 1778, the first set, and then I think just one family or a couple of families came then, and then in 1834, a lot more of them came. And, of course, the English came in 1655. The Welsh, which the name Morgan is a Welsh name, came, it doesn't say what year, but it said in the 17th century. And the Scottish came in, or the Scots came in 1655. So the history of Jamaica's really cultural mix goes way back. It just didn't start in our generation or the generation before us or in the generation before that. It really started way, way back. So I thought that was very interesting information. And as I said, there's a lot of details on Dr. Tortella's, in Dr. Tortella's article on Pieces of the Past that tell you what caused them to come, where they settled, what they did, very interesting information. So at this time, I'd like to take a break and tell our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each week at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday, and the whole objective of this show is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And I know, like a lot of my peers, a lot of us are not planning to go back to Jamaica to retire because I'm retired now, been retired for a long time. But I still love my island and my culture. And from the amount of people that pass the website around or the show around, the numbers have been growing, and I can tell that there are perhaps other people out there who might not call in every week or any week, but they are interested in the information that we share. So at this point, I'd like to ask any of the listeners on the board that might be, you know, can trace their background to any of these people who came that would like to share some information with us about what they might know or heard or believe. So until I go into the rest of the did you know, the board is open. So please hit 1 on your telephone if you would like to join the Labrish. And I'm waiting for a hand. I see quite a few people on the board, but as usual, I know that a lot of times you just want to listen to me talk or babble or whatever I do. So I am. If I don't see you, raise your hand, and you can always interrupt me because, remember, this is a relaxed conversation. It's not a debate, and I always tell people, most times I'm not even politically correct. I'm polite all the time, at least I try to be, but I don't necessarily do anything in any particular order. So feel free to interrupt whenever you like. Now I am going to give you some information that I got from another one of my favorite historians, which is Dr. Joy Lumsden. And Dr. Lumsden is a retired professor who I believe still resides in Jamaica. And she is just a marvelous researcher, and I have so much really fun when I go to her pages, and you can Google her and get to her pages. It's joyousjam.com or .org. But just Google Dr. Joy Lumsden and you'll get to several of her articles. However, I am always intrigued with how she puts together her information. And it's quite tedious because she goes back, you know, way back in a lot of times and really discover people that were not necessarily known because they were not a politician or they didn't participate in anything that at the time perhaps was big news. But she found out about them by some article in the newspaper or something, and she pieces people things together. And she's always asking for people who might have additional information about anyone that she writes about or anything that she writes about to get in touch with her and let her know. Now, this was interesting, and I got it from her page. It says, up until the early 1690s, Jamaica's population, no, I'm sorry, this came from Pieces of the Past. Jamaica's population was relatively equally mixed between white and black. And the first African to arrive came in 1513. After having been taken from West Africa by the Spanish and Portuguese, they were servants, cowboys, herders of cattle, pigs, and horses, as well as hunters. I thought that was quite interesting because they didn't really, it didn't sound like they came as slaves. So they were apparently prisoners of war or something, I don't know, but they came in these different capacities. When the English captured Jamaica in 1655, many of them fought with the Spanish, who gave them their freedom, and I suppose they were slaves, and then fled to the mountains, resisting the British for many years to maintain their freedom, becoming known as the Maroons. So we Jamaicans know a lot. Well, not a lot, but I know about the Maroons. I've never gone to the place they live, but I knew it existed while I was growing up. I think I knew it existed. So, but I didn't know that they were, you know, in those different capacities. Of course, they didn't have plantations then when they came in 15, whatever. So that's why they were hunters and, you know, whatever else it mentioned here. Let me go back. I'm reading from another computer, so bear with me. There were cowboys and servants and herders of cattle, pigs and horses, as well as hunters. So I thought that was quite interesting. And I would love for people on the board to let me know if they knew of these things before, because I don't know if I've always just been so in the dark, but I feel so enlightened when I find this information out. And I'm wondering, am I the only one that I'm so surprised when I read these things, or is this common knowledge? Should I have known about it? Was I a little slow or what? But anyway, I thought that was quite interesting and thought I would share that with you. So let me give you some more tips until someone raises their hand on the board and joins this lavish. And at this point, I'll have to tell you that I live in the city of Atlanta, And I know my callers. I see callers on the board from 301-973-407-331, different places. But I don't see any Atlanta callers. But if you have been watching the news, you know that we have been snowed in or frozen in, although we have less snow than perhaps what is being experienced in the rest of the country right now as we speak, because we are of our terrain and we are not really accustomed to this heavy snowfall. We have just been grounded. Kids have been out of school, and they're not going to school tomorrow either because all the roads aren't cleared and the school buses can't get back and forth. So we are experiencing a little difficulties. So tonight, you know, I'm trying to make sure my electricity to go off. I'm going from one computer to the next because we had a couple of blockouts today. So now I wanted to share with you some things from Dr. Lumsden. And I'd like to tell you that she has a page on Rockfort Gardens, or some information on Rockfort Gardens being a very special place, you know, back in the days. It says here from about four decades, from 1900 to 1940, Rockfort Gardens was Kingston's most important venue for a wide variety of forums of entertainment. And I wonder if people, anybody could guess what the main form of entertainment that a lot of people could participate in, besides going to the plays and the dances and things like that. I'll tell you about that later, but let me finish reading what she says here. Today it is all about forgotten, and the site is occupied by power-generating equipment of the Jamaican Public Service. But here in an article that she got from the Daily Gleaner of July 20th in 1899, it says, excursion to Rockfort Gardens. Rockfort Gardens was the scene of intense animation on Tuesday evening last, the occasion being the formal gathering of the future recreation ground for Kingston. For from early in the afternoon, cars on the Rockfort route were crowded with passengers to such an extent that standing room was unavailable, and as the evening wore on, the rush to the garden became, let me get my computer scrolled up here, became larger. And in spite of the fact that several special cars were put on the line, I suppose the tram line they were talking about, because I suppose the tram was running in those days. So bear with me, remember, senior citizen here. They were inadequate to convey all the people, and several had to return to their homes. The garden was lighted with electricity and presented a beautiful appearance, while the band of the Kingston Infantry Matilla rendered a much appreciated program of music from early in the evening until after 10 o'clock. There were also refreshments to be had on the grounds. Between 4,000 and 5,000 people visited the garden during the evening. So I don't know what part of Rockfort Gardens that was that they were referring to at the time. However, I know that as a teenager, I think Rockfort Gardens was where Bournemouth Gardens was, near there someplace. And if there are any callers on the board that have a better memory than me, please fill me in. Because I remember having a date with my then boyfriend who became my husband, or dates, and we would go to Bournemouth Garden for dancing. And that was where I learned to swim. So they had a large swimming pool. I remember that. And we had dancing there like every Friday night, or I think it was every Friday night, or I know it had to do with the weekend. So I know it was a big place for entertainment during my growing up as a teenager, which would make it the 50s, or late 40s and early 50s, I guess. So do we have any people on the board who were in Kingston during that time? But I had no idea that it was a big entertainment place for entertaining the general public, and don't really have any recollection of a garden, which, because when I think of a garden, I'm thinking of something like a botanical garden. And I don't know if that was what this article was referring to. So, again, if there's anyone on the board that can enlighten me, I would appreciate it. But I thought that was quite interesting to, as my one of my did-you-knows. So now let me share some more with you. And, again, let me remind our listeners that you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. And this segment is Backyard Labrish. We're here each week at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the very rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And by the arrival of the different ethnic groups that I mentioned earlier, you know when we say diverse, how very diverse we are, and how very appropriate our motto of out of many, one people is. Because one thing I know, and I believe it's still the same now, during my time, no matter where a Jamaican went, and no matter what a Jamaican looked like, whether they were lily white, little white, very black, in between, nobody identified themselves as anything but a Jamaican. That's what they were, and I believe that's what every Jamaican still is. So, with that said, I am now going to share some more Did You Knows with you. I must tell you that our show is not going to be as long as it usually is because I had a really rush day with the early because of the weather. So and because of the weather conditions, I will have to make it a little shorter than usual. So at this point, I really want to encourage my listeners to do a couple of things that will really help me and the rest of our fans. And that is, one of my objectives here is to help to preserve some of what we can as Jamaicans about what happened when we grew up. Because I see Dr. Lumsden, as well as some of the other historians, trying to put pieces together about a period of time or a person or events because it was not officially recorded. And the world has expanded because there are more people in the world. There are more people in Jamaica. There are more people of Jamaican heritage all over the world. And although we might not feel that individually we have a story or whatever information or ideas we had about what went on when we grew up is not important, you would be surprised to know that generations behind us might find some of this information just as interesting as I know we are finding the information about what happened in, 1794 and 1864. So I encourage you, if you know someone who is willing to share their story, share their ideas about the past, about what went on when they grew up, please invite them to be a guest on the show and just send me an email or give me some information, and I'd be more than happy to have them join the Labrish, because my objective is to get some living memories down up in cyberspace. I don't know where cyberspace is. I know it's out there someplace. But one thing I know from having a personal tragedy, that it's the best place to store information, because I had a lot of information, not as much as I'd like to, but I did have quite a bit of information from my mother in the form of written information and tapes. My mother even made some tapes. And because I had a house fire in 07, I lost all of that. And that's sort of what prompted me to use this format to, you know, give information and share information. So I would encourage you to, if you want to share, I'm not asking for personal information, but it's a good thing to do that too, privately, and using cyberspace to have it in space forever. Because once you put it in certain format, it's going to be available. So here we're sharing information on that, you know, is everything is relevant, but I'm trying to get the positive side. I know there's a lot of information about what's currently happening in Jamaica now, and perhaps a lot of information since independence, but not a lot of information as to how different communities or people in different communities lived or experienced, or what was perhaps unique to you in your household. And I believe that that could be very inspiring or interesting to someone else in another part of the world, perhaps someone of Jamaican heritage or just someone curious about Jamaica or fans of Jamaica. There are so many foreigners who just love Jamaica and really can't get enough information. So we want them to have, you know, a variety of information. So if you can help me out with that, I would really appreciate it. So let me know if you would like to join the Labrish or if you know someone who would like to. So let me share with you a little more of what I found online. I'm not sure where I found this. I think it's on one of the websites that when I Googled Jamaica, did you know? It says here, Jamaica became the second Caribbean country to elect a female prime minister. Her name, Portia Simpson Miller, and she was elected prime minister in 2006. Now, because I left Jamaica in 1959, and even before independence, I'm not too up to date on all of the information about what happened after that. It says here, did you know that Jamaica is the birthplace of Bob Marley? I think just about everybody knows that, who was one of the best singers of all time. People all over the world wanted to meet this incredible singer. He died in May of 1981 in Miami. But today, the people of Jamaica still think of him with great respect. I say amen to that. Did you know that Jamaica has more Olympic medals than Portugal, Taiwan, Saudi Arabia, Iceland, Singapore, and Kuwait combined? Didn't know that. It has competed in the Summer Olympic Games 15 times. And they named them here London in 1948, Helsinki in 1952, Melbourne in 1956, Rome in 1960, Tokyo in 1964, Mexico City in 1968, Munich in 1972, Montreal in 1976, Moscow in 1980, Los Angeles in 1984, Seoul in 1988, Barcelona in 1992, Atlanta in 1996, Sydney in 2000, and Athens in 2004. So they have it all here. Huh. Those are just Summer Olympics. So we have competed 15 times. And it says here that Jamaica hosted the 1966 British Empire and Commonwealth Games. So for those of the fans who are interested in sports and didn't know that, that might be something that you now know. Now, Tessa Anderson, there's some information here. I am not sure how verifiable some of this is. I don't remember what website I got this from. I know it's not from one of the historians. But I can really encourage you. There's so much information that you can have if you Google anything you want on Google. Now, what I know that you have to be, because the cyberspace is a place where anybody can post anything, whether it's your opinion, your idea, or a fact. So in order to make sure that you are going to quote anything you see on the internet, you have to be sure that you can verify it. And I did check on the participation in the Olympics. And so that is there's some information that I don't know how, you know, authentic it is. So until I research it, I'd rather just skip it for the moment. But there's an interesting fact about the now Jamaican flag that I didn't know before, and it mentioned that the Jamaican flag is the only flag that does not have a color of the United States. And I thought that was interesting. I didn't know that, in its colors. Apparently, every other flag have some, the white or the blue or the whatever, other, the red, white, and blue. But the Jamaican flag, the current Jamaican flag, does not have that. So I thought that was interesting. It says here, did you know that like Dominica, Trinidad and Tobago, St. Kitts and Barbados, Antigua and Bermuda and Grenada, Jamaica is a democracy in the world? Interesting. Well, I suppose it has a democratic government, which some of the, there are so many other countries that is even predominantly African or any other ethnic background that is not necessarily, do not have the freedom of democracy where you can go and vote for your party of choice or your person of choice. So we still have a lot to be thankful for. And although, like the rest of the world, you know, every part of the world is suffering now because of the economy. The economy is affecting every nation. So with that said, Jamaica, like any place else, is having their financial problems. The city I live in right now, even because of the weather, is creating more financial problems because we don't have the budget to be cleaning snow that we never had before in history. So it affects every place and every person. And at this time, I want to join the rest of the world in remembering the victims of the earthquake in Haiti, because today is the one-year anniversary of that disaster. And although, you know, things have not moved along and people who are giving to Haiti might get a little discouraged, I want to remind our listeners and our fans that when you do something and you give from the heart for a cause, then, you know, your blessing is there. If the receiver does not do what they're supposed to do with it, it's really no reflection on you, and it should not prevent you from continuing to give or to give to somebody else. It should not deter you from that, because the news today was really focusing a lot on what has not been done. And I know sometimes that can be discouraging, not only for the people who might be giving to Haiti, but because it's negative news, people might take that to cut back on whatever they might have given. So I want to use this, although I don't do politics and religion and everything, but, you know, if you're giving from the heart, you really don't have to worry about the receiver, because you did your part, which is give from the heart. So with that said, I would like to have a comment from people calling in, because we are about to run out of our hour that I have allotted for this show. So if you'd like to join the Labrish with something to share or to give a comment, please hit 1 on your telephone so I can see that you are wanting to join the Labrish. And I'll open up the mic to you. But in the meantime, I want to really have you join me in a virtual experience, because I saw on the news this evening that 49 or 48 or 49 states are covered with snow. I think only Florida is the only state right now tonight that does not have snow on the ground. So with that said, regardless of where you're calling from, I know there's a possibility that snow is on the ground. So what better time than to take a virtual trip to the island of Jamaica? If you grew up there, you know what your favorite place was, whether it was in your backyard, on your front veranda, at the beach, on your rooftop. Because when I grew up, they had flat roof houses, and we could go up on the rooftop and sit in our chairs looking at the stars. Boy, wasn't it beautiful. And that was one of my favorite places to be, because it would be cool. You can imagine, we didn't have central air, and to have a flat roof, you know, although we had cross ventilation. And there was always trade winds blowing. But when you're out in the open air, looking up in the stars, what could be better than that? So whatever your favorite place was, when it became dusk, as we would call it, twilight. We used to have twilight weddings, I remember that. In the old days, a person would be getting married and they'd have a twilight wedding. That is just when the dusk is coming over the island, or it's getting dark, the sun is setting, and the trade winds are gently blowing across the island. And not, you know, you can imagine the cross ventilation, because it just blow right across the island. We're so tiny. But it was so beautiful, and so relaxing. So I suggest that you, if your city is cold, you take a virtual tour. And if you've never been there, just imagine a special place, if yours is on the beach or some under a tree. Just imagine you're there, and the gentle breezes are just whisking across your face. And with that said, I'm going to leave you with that relaxing, soothing feeling that you should be getting. And as they say on the island, no problem, man. You should just be relaxed and tranquilized, but naturally. This is a natural tranquilizer. I once heard a tourist on one of my visits there describe the island itself as one big natural tranquilizer, because everything is so easy when you're, of course, when you're on vacation, that you're just totally relaxed. So whatever city you're calling in from and wherever you're coming from to visit, I hope you have a nice, relaxed, and naturally tranquilized evening. And I invite you to come back next week when we will have another interesting subject on our beautiful island of Jamaica. And I am hoping to bring a few guests on this year that will enlighten us about their period of growing up in Jamaica, or if they're doing something special that we would like to celebrate. So do join me next week right here in the backyard. And please bring a friend or invite a friend to virtually join you from another part of your city, your country, or the world. So with that said, I am going to bid you good night. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, signing off from the Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. And as I always end my shows, because I know you have the ability to do so, I'm going to ask you to make it a great week. Good night. And thank you for joining us. I almost forgot my manners. Thank you so much for joining me in the backyard. I can see you all on the board. And I ask you, I really, really appreciate your support. And I ask you to come again next week and visit with us. So good night, all. And as we say in the South,